This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Medicinal cannabis is being prescribed for things like pain, anxiety, sleep. But do we really know how well it works or what the downsides might be? We're going to be joined by Professor Susie Nielsen, who's Deputy Director of the Monash Addiction Research Centre at Monash University. And Susie is on the line from Copenhagen. Susie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, good morning to you, I should say, actually. The prescriptions for prescriptions for medicinal cannabis have gone from almost nothing to, I believe, hundreds of thousands in less, you know, a few years. What's driving the surge?
Well, we have seen large increases, and particularly, as you mentioned, the three conditions that we're seeing the most prescriptions for is chronic pain, anxiety, and sleep disorders. So those three are really accounting for really the bulk of the prescriptions. And I guess part of the reason why this has, become something that we're talking about is because it's a little bit ahead of the evidence for those conditions, where we don't really have as solid evidence as we might like to have when we're seeing these unapproved medicines being used so frequently.
How do we go about getting a prescription? Do you just go to your GP, or is there a certain process you need to go through?
Well, because these are not approved medicines, so normally with an approved medicine, it's had all of the safety and efficacy data already available, and it's in the country, and you can just get it from your local pharmacy. Because these are not approved medicines and they haven't been through that process, the TGA has developed, I guess, a pathway for approvals. It's relatively streamlined now, and it might feel similar that you can go to a GP or a prescriber and then get it from a pharmacy, but it does go through a separate approval process. And I think because that evidence isn't quite there, there are a lot of GPs that are a little bit reluctant to prescribe it. And so we are seeing a lot more of the prescriptions coming from cannabis clinics as opposed to kind of where we might normally see people get their medicines from, which is from their GP.
I suppose what's the risk then of going to a particular cannabis clinic? I mean, I imagine that they wouldn't know your entire history like your GP does.
That's one of the concerns, and particularly when we think about a condition like chronic pain, often people have multiple conditions at the same time. They often, we know that it's quite common to have things like depression at the same time. There's often other underlying conditions that are contributing to that chronic pain. And so ideally we see one doctor, and this is usually the role of the GP, is to provide coordinated care for all of somebody's health conditions and to provide some oversight for that. And so when you do get sort of one medicine prescribed by one clinic separately to the rest of your healthcare, there is a risk with that fragmentation that, you know, interactions between drugs can be missed. Maybe one side effect from one thing is causing something else, and that doesn't get picked up because there's not that whole of person care going on. And we know with medicinal cannabis products in particular, there are some really important drug interactions with other medicines. So there is a reason to be careful.
Let's talk about chronic pain. It's one of the top reasons that it's prescribed. What do we know about how effective it really is for easing pain?
We know for a small number of people, there's a small effect. So there is what's called a statistically significant effect on pain, but it's often the size of the amount that someone's pain is reduced isn't the amount that pain specialists would call clinically meaningful. So often those benefits are quite small, and they're for a small number of people as well. So there are some people that report benefits, but when we look at kind of at the population level, it's the size of the benefits and the number of people that benefit probably are not as high as we might like to see given how commonly these medicines are being used.
What about anxiety? That's another condition where people are turning to medicinal cannabis. What does the research tell us about how well it works for anxiety relief?
Yeah, anxiety is a little bit of a tricky one because we see with medicinal cannabis, we see there's sort of two main ingredients. There's sort of THC ingredients, which is the ingredient that has that psychoactive effect that makes you feel kind of drowsy or euphoric sometimes. And then there's CBD, which tends not to have those same side effects. The evidence for THC is quite mixed. For some people, there are some benefits. For other people, it actually makes them feel worse and it can really exacerbate their anxiety symptoms. So it's a little bit concerning to see so much THC being prescribed, and particularly what we're seeing being prescribed is the highest concentration THC products for anxiety. So that's not necessarily what we would expect. The CBD-based products, there's some emerging evidence, but it's really not at the point that you would start recommending it for clinical use. It's probably a signal that suggests we should do more research and that there might be benefits, but there's only a number of small studies with important limitations, and the evidence isn't at the stage where we would be necessarily approving a product and recommending it as a first-line treatment. The other thing for anxiety is that we actually have safe and approved medications that are available, and so we wouldn't want people to be getting medicinal cannabis where the evidence is uncertain ahead of things where the evidence is more clear.
Does the CBD still have side effects?
CBD probably has fewer side effects in terms of being tolerated, but it does have important drug interactions, so that's something that we want to be careful with if people are on other medications. Probably more side effects with THC-based products, which are the most common ones that are used.
Some people say that cannabis helps them get to sleep. Does the research back up those, I suppose, personal stories?
There's a bit of nuance in understanding the effect of cannabis in sleep. So cannabis definitely makes you drowsy, and it can make people feel like they're getting to sleep quicker. But when we look at objective measures of sleep, how much sleep people are getting, etc., we tend not to see any significant effect on those measures, but we have people self-reporting they feel like they're getting more sleep, but the actual kind of when we look at how many minutes of sleep they're getting, etc., that isn't necessarily supporting what people are reporting. So I think people perceive that they're feeling sleepy, they're falling asleep easier, but it doesn't necessarily translate to high quality sleep. And the other thing we see when people are using it regularly for sleep is if they try and stop using it, the withdrawal effects make their sleep a lot worse. So it can be a little bit of a vicious cycle.
What if someone they've tried all the, the current medications and all sorts of therapies, et cetera, but they're still struggling to sleep? Is that when they should perhaps consider using something like medicinal cannabis?
Probably some of the most effective things for sleep are actually psychological treatments like CBT to develop ways and strategies to help get to sleep. We know in the longer term that that's where the evidence is. Those are the things that work best in the long term, and they also don't have the same kind of side effects as medicinal cannabis. When someone starts taking medicinal cannabis, they might find for the first 2 weeks it works quite well. It makes them feel sleepy. They fall asleep. But those effects of feeling sleepy actually wear off relatively quickly, and then you end up in a situation where you're just taking it because if you don't take it, you can't get to sleep, as opposed to it actually helping you sleep as much. It's more that your body's used to it at that point, you can't do without it. And that's not necessarily a situation we want to see people getting into with a medicine like medicinal cannabis.
I was going to say, so is it quite common that cannabis, there is that risk of dependency even with medicinal cannabis?
Yeah, the evidence is starting to come out now from a number of research studies where it's estimated that around 1 in 4 people who are using cannabis for medical reasons are actually developing dependence, which is quite a high number. It's also quite similar to the rate that we saw with opioids, so strong pain medicine. So it is concerning now that we're seeing that data, that it does seem to be affecting quite a large number of people.
Susie, great to chat with you. We'll let you go and enjoy the day in Copenhagen. Beautiful city.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. That is Professor Susie Nielsen, Deputy Director of the Monash Addiction Research Centre at Monash University. And if you're dealing with anxiety, sleep problems or chronic pain, speak to your GP about what treatments may be most effective for you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.